Let's stand together for the reading of the Word of God, Hebrews chapter 1. We'll begin reading at verse 1. God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high, being made so much better than the angels, as he hath by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. For unto which of the angels said he at any time, Thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee? And again, I will be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son. And again, when he bringeth in the first begotten into the world, he saith, And let all the angels of God worship him. And of the angels, he saith, who maketh his angels spirits, and his ministers a flame of fire. But unto the Son, he saith, Thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is the scepter of thy kingdom. Thou hast loved righteousness and hated iniquity. Therefore God, even thy God, hath anointed thee with the oil of gladness above thy fellows. Father, we're so glad this morning that we can come and celebrate the birth of Jesus. We thank you for what Jesus means to us this morning. We thank you for the lives that have been transformed by his grace and power, the sins that have been forgiven through his blood. We thank you, Lord, for the families that enjoy the peace of God because of the presence of Jesus in that home. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for how that you have healed the alienation between fathers and children. We thank you that you have brought together those who were alienated from one another because of sin. We thank you, Lord, because of the peace. Jesus is the Prince of Peace. And we pray this morning that you would bless in this service, and may our hearts be touched by the truth of your word concerning Jesus. And in his name we pray, amen and amen. I would like to speak to you for just a few minutes this morning on the God who has a son. The God who has a son. As I mentioned to you earlier, a few weeks ago, in most people's minds, the question is not, is there a God, but what kind of God exists? And we have been talking for some time about the characteristics of the true God. And one of the characteristics of the true God, the God that's revealed to us in the Bible, is that he is a God who has a son. And even if we did not have the New Testament to reveal to us that God has a son, we already knew that he had a son just from what he has revealed about himself in the Old Testament. For when we open the book of Psalms and turn to the second chapter of Psalms, we read there where in verse 7 he said, I will declare the decree, the Lord hath said unto me, Thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee. Ask of me, and I will give thee the heathen for thine inheritance, and the uttermost part of the earth for thy possession. He goes on to say in verse 12 of that chapter, Kiss the son, lest he be angry, and ye perish from the way when his wrath is kindled but a little. Blessed are all they that put their trust in him. So even if we did not have the New Testament, the revelation of God in the Old Testament demonstrates to us that he is a God who has a son. There's a passage of scripture that came to me, and maybe I can turn to it right quickly here in the book of Proverbs, and chapter 30 and verse 4. Who hath ascended up into heaven or descended? Who hath gathered the wind in his fist? Who hath bound the waters in a garment? Who hath established all the ends of the earth? What is his name? And what is his son's name, if thou canst tell? And so the Old Testament reveals to us that the true God is a God who has a son. And the Bible tells us that his son is exactly like him. For the Bible tells us in my text this morning, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, so that the Son of God is exactly like his Father. In fact, Jesus would say to his disciple, he said, if you have seen me, you have seen the Father. He would say, I and my Father are one. And if you have seen me, you have seen the Father. And so Jesus is exactly like his Father. The reason that Jesus came into this world is to reveal to us, to bring to us a complete revelation of his Father. If you have seen me, you have seen my Father. A lot of misunderstandings about who the Father is. Many people dismiss the God of the Old Testament as being out of date. But I'm telling you that the God of the New Testament is the same God in the Old Testament. God, the true and living God, has a son. And his son came into the world to manifest the Father unto us. If you have seen me, you have seen the Father. Hallelujah. Brother, this son does things only God can do. The Bible tells us in my text here this morning that by him God made the worlds. He's a creator. The Bible tells us in John chapter 1 and verse 1, in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him. And without him was not anything made that was made. And these people who come around saying that Jesus Christ is a created being have to ignore the truth of this scripture, that without him was not anything made that was made. Jesus is the maker, the creator of all things. He does things that only God can do. Not only is he the creator of all things visible and invisible, but the Bible tells us that he upholds all things by the word of his power. So that not only did he bring into existence this great creation, but he is the one that sustains it and holds it together. If it were not for the word of his power, the universe would go to pieces without the power of the Son of God holding all things together. He holds the earth in its orbit. He holds the universe in his hands. Hallelujah. Praise God. The little children sing a song sometimes. He's got the whole world in his hands. He's got you and me, brother, in his hands. He not only made all things, but he sustains all things by the word of his power. He is called God by his Father. In my text here this morning in verse 8, unto the Son he saith, that is God said, thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. So that he is designated God by his own Father. And there are people who will not call him God, but the Father calls him God and says, unto thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. And so this Son does things that only God can do. because he is an integral part of the Godhead. And then this Son came to earth with a mission. For the Bible tells us in my text here this morning, God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son. God sent Jesus into this world to speak to us. Jesus came with a message for us. The Bible tells us that he is the light of the world. He came into a world of darkness. Men were deceived, and Jesus came into the world to bring light. He came to bring truth to those who were deceived by the errors of Satan. This is the mark of our adversary. He is the deceiver of the whole world. But Jesus came to offset the deception of Satan and brought life, light to us who sat in darkness. Jesus came and spoke to us. God spoke to us through his Son. In this passage of Scripture, there are two groups here that God has used to speak to people. He spoke in times past unto the fathers by the prophets. In the Old Testament, God revealed his word to men through the prophets of the Old Testament. And he says that he makes his ministers a flaming fire. The angels are his ministers. He makes them a flame of fire. And they spoke and revealed things unto men. But in these last days, understand this, in these last days, God hath spoken unto us by his Son. There's somebody that supersedes all prophets. There's somebody greater than all angels. God has spoken unto us by his Son. It is in these last days that God spoke unto us by his Son. In other words, when God said in the last days that he spoke to us by his Son, there won't be another spokesman. I'm telling you, the final word has been spoken. The Son of God has come to reveal the mind of God to us. And God has spoken to us by his Son. If we reject the message of Jesus, there will not be a contradictory message to what God has spoken to us in his Son. We must believe the message that God has given to us in Jesus Christ. There will be no other. In these last days, God spoke to us by his Son. Not only did Jesus come to speak to us, but he came to purge us from our sins. My text says, oh, I love this, in verse 3 of my text, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high, when he had by himself. There was only one that could do it. Jesus was the only one that could purge us from our sins. And when he had by himself purged us from our sins, sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high, indicating that his job was done, that no other sacrifice was needed. The ultimate sacrifice had been made. And Jesus had purged us from our sins by his death upon the cross of Calvary. He came to earth with a mission. This is one reason that makes Christmas so important. We celebrate the birthday of George Washington. He means a lot to our country. We celebrate the birthday of Abraham Lincoln. He means a lot to our country. But I'm telling you, we celebrate the birth of Jesus Christ because there's nobody that has ever meant so much to us as the human race, not only in America, but all around the world. We celebrate the birth of the greatest person that's ever lived, who came to be like light to us and purge us from our sins by His own blood. He could alone could do that. Only Jesus could do that. I say He's worthy of honor, and He's worthy of glory, and He's worthy of being celebrated, because there's nobody ever lived like Jesus, the Son of God. Hallelujah. The God who has a Son. His Son reigns. Hallelujah. I said His Son reigns. The Lord said in Psalm chapter 2, I'm going to set my Son upon the throne. He's going to be a king. His kingdom will last forever. It was prophesied to Mary when the angel came and said, you're going to have a son, and he's going to rule upon the throne of David forever. And I want you to understand, when you look around at this world right now, all of us came to this service this morning because, and all of us brought to this service problems and troubles that are the result of sin in the world. Not necessarily sin in your life, but sin in the world. And sometimes it seems like that Jesus has abdicated the throne. But I'm here to tell you that He reigns right now. Hallelujah. And He reigns forever. And there'll never be a successor to Him. Never be anybody to take His place. Jesus rules on the throne both now and forever. And what He's doing and accomplishing. The Bible said He must reign until His enemies be made His footstool. Hallelujah. Oh yeah, we think, well, He will reign. I say He is reigning. Until His enemies become His footstool. There's something going on, brother. In this world, everything is being brought under the lordship of Jesus Christ. Someday, we will see the fulfillment of what Jesus died to accomplish on the cross of Calvary. And all things will be brought under the lordship of Jesus Christ. Because God hath given Him a name which is above every name. That at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow. Every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Oh, thank God. I want you to take comfort from this fact, brother and sister. When troubles are mounting in your life, when it seems like everything is going wrong, our Savior reigns. He sits upon the throne right now. He's got everything under control. And He never allows anything in our life that we can't handle by His help. Did you hear me? I said He never allows anything in our life that we can't handle by His help. He reigns. Right now, Jesus reigns. Hallelujah. He sits upon the throne of this universe. Hallelujah. There's not another king higher than Him. He is King of kings and Lord of lords. Hallelujah. And everybody in this place must recognize who He is and give glory to Him. Someday you will give glory to Him, whether you want to or not. But I say this is the time to voluntarily bend your knee and give glory to the Son of God. He's worthy to be praised, honored, and glorified. Hallelujah. The Muslims tell us that Jesus was a great prophet. But they tell us that Muhammad was a greater prophet. And that God came and sent, that God sent, Allah sent Muhammad to speak to us. But I'm telling you, the God that spoke in times past by the prophets hath in these last days spoken unto us by somebody greater than any prophet. He spoke to us by His Son. Hallelujah. This is the God who has a Son. Praise God. And that's what we're celebrating this very morning, is the God who has a Son who is exactly like Him. Praise God. Woo, hallelujah. Glory to the Lamb of God. I say, brother, this is a wonderful truth. We worship a God who has a Son exactly like Him. Praise the name of the Lord. Oh, glory to God. Glory to God. Oh my, I feel that wonderful anointing of the Holy Ghost upon me right now. I believe that Jesus Christ would love to be born in somebody's heart right here, right now. in this service. Praise God. The same Christ that was born in Bethlehem can be born in your heart this morning. If you don't know this Jesus, you can know Him for yourself this morning and get acquainted with the greatest person that ever lived on the top side of this earth. Sister Judy, I want you to come to the piano. I know this probably ain't just conventional, but I just feel like giving an altar call if there's anybody here. I don't believe that'd be a better day to get right with God than this day, right now. Hallelujah. Y'all have heard my wife give her testimony over and over again that she got saved on Christmas Day, 1976. She and I in a car wreck. She's raised in church. She's in and out of the altar. She thought she was saved, playing the piano in church. Come face to face with death, and I realized I'm not ready to meet God. They took us to the hospital and checked us out and said everything's all right, but everything wasn't all right inside. We went to my parents' home. They came and picked us up at the hospital. We knelt down in the living room to give thanks to God. December the 25th, 1976. My wife knelt at the couch and said, "Lord, I'll live for you now." That was a surrender took place to Jesus Christ. Instant change took place in her life. That day, December the 25th, 1976. Now, I've lived with her for over 25 years. I'll tell you, Jesus made a difference in that woman's life. And He'll make a difference in your life. Oh my. Young folks, if you don't know Him, you're missing out on knowing the greatest person ever lived. You're missing out on knowing the God who has a Son just like Himself. Let's stand together. Maybe there's somebody that needs to be saved.